1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most of you who are here today are followers of Christ. You'd be identified if the world were to look for Christians back here, you'd be identified as a Christian. And yet, when we think about Georgia or even Glynn County or Brantley County, we'd probably be in the minority. Have you ever stopped to think about why you're a Christian? Why are you a follower of Christ? That's what I want to think about this morning. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a follower of Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he gave them a lot of instruction. And one of the great instructions that he gave them, and one of the great things that he told them, was that he had declared to them this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this truth. And he told them that this gospel was not something that came by wisdom of man. He delivered unto them what he had received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. But this wasn't just something that was written on printed page. This was a truth that they had seen, they witnessed. Beloved, Jesus was seen. He says, first of all, he was seen of Peter, Cephas. He said he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. And at this point, many of those are dead and gone, but they were witnesses. He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, Paul says, he was seen of me also. But look at how he
writes about himself. He says, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Paul had been forgiven of his sins, and he was a great man of God. But the reality of what he had done lived with him, and he knew the reality of it. He knew, and he never forgot the awesomeness of the grace of God in his life. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. But I'm not bragging. Yet not I, he says, but the grace of God, which was with me. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul had a lot that he could have bragged about, more so than anyone else in this room, more so than any Christian that I know of or have ever known of, living or dead. And when I think about that, and I get up in the morning on Sunday morning and I get ready for church, And I think about the fact that, yes, we are followers of Christ, and I rejoice, and it brings me great joy to get up and to get ready and to get over here. And maybe you've thought about this fact too, that many of your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your countrymen, your classmates, they're not Christians. What we're doing this morning is not normal. It's not normal. It's odd. It's peculiar. It's different. It's weird. To come in a place like this, to come together to worship a God that we cannot see with our eyes, to hear a preacher, to sing, to pray. We have no entertainment to offer. We have no great bands or incentives. But we have Jesus. We have Jesus. When we think about this great separation between us and the rest of the world, why is it? Why are you a Christian this morning? And furthermore, why were you a Christian last night? It's not fate. It's not chance. It's not luck that has brought you to the place that you are. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul says. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What is grace? What is grace? Very simply put, grace is God's unmerited favor. That means that the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he did not deserve, not even just a little bit, of what God gave him. And this morning I submit to you today that you don't deserve anything that God has given you. And I don't deserve anything that God has given me. But yet here we are, Christians. We have nothing to boast. When we see the differences that there are between us and the rest of the world, In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh, I love Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. If we could have a flag flying over top of this building, I think that would be it. Maybe it would be hard to choose a verse, but I think that might be it. By grace, we've been saved through faith. And even that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Whatever we are, whatever we do, we have no reason to boast of it. Stop and think for a moment. Paul, he was an apostle. He was a missionary. He was writer to a big portion of the New Testament. Surely he could forget about all the things that he had done before, the whole persecuting the church and all that. That was done. That was the old life. But he knew whatever he could do, whatever great work he could do, there was nothing he could ever do to merit God's favor. And we might sit back and say, well, I might be a sinner, but I'm not a sinner like Saul was. You may not have ever persecuted the church, but the fact is that you did sin against the holy God. And as such, that puts you at enmity, at war, at odds with God. And just as much deserving of an eternal hell as Saul of Tarsus. Without Christ, no hope. And indeed, were it not for the grace of God, you and I would be no different than the rest of this world. There is no room for boasting. Whether you've just been saved this week, or whether you've been saved for decades. It's all by the grace of God that you are where you are. As you got up this morning, and as you got dressed and you got prepared for church, and as you drove over here, you looked at your neighbors and perhaps passed by many houses and individuals who gave no thought to the fact that it's the Lord's day. No thought to the fact that they ought to be serving the Lord. No thought that they need to repent and believe the gospel. Oh, there ought not to be an ounce of pride in our lives when we think about that. Over in Luke chapter 18, there were two individuals. Luke chapter 18. beginning of verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, watch this now, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus goes on here and he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let us not have the attitude of the Pharisees. This Pharisee here, as he had the attitude that he was righteous and despised others. But rather, let us have the attitude of the publican, realizing who he was and how great God is. The reality is that we love our Lord because he first loved us. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 16, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. I have no boasting this morning. The fact that I'm saved today, that I'm a follower of Jesus. And neither do you. Neither do you. The Lord has saved us by His grace, and we thank the Lord for that. Do you know something else? The Lord has not only saved us, but today we're given a double privilege. When we think about the fact that we're saved, we're also in one of the Lord's churches. I truly believe that. And we have to be careful about that too. Sometimes we're tempted to boast the fact that we're in the Baptist church, the Lord's church, to get arrogant about that. Today, as you came to church, you may have noticed, so we drove over here and passed by some other folks who were assembling in some other buildings. Other denominations, and maybe in your heart you looked down upon those folks and thought how much better, how much smarter that you were compared to them. I've heard men, not from this pulpit, but maybe you've heard them too, say things like, well, what would I be if I weren't a Baptist? I'd be ashamed. I've heard men say, Don't believe you have to be a Baptist to get to heaven, but if you want to fly first class, you better be a Baptist. I've heard men say that if you're not a Baptist, you're an ignoramus and all sorts of things as they get excited about talking about the Lord's church. Hear me now. I do believe that if a person is truly saved, they ought to submit to scriptural baptism and they ought to join the Lord's church. But also believe that we ought to consider the truth of the scriptures. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, verses 46 and 47, look here what it says. It says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." It's the Lord who adds to the church. And were it not for the grace of God, and someone who was willing to sit down with the scriptures and sometimes with much patience, perhaps to show you the things that are here in the scriptures, were not for the grace of God to show you these things, you might have been out there in one of those other denominations. Were it not for the grace of God that you were born in, the family that you were born in, you might be this morning in a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church or an Episcopalian church or a Pentecostal group. God's grace is great. And we do have responsibility to study the scriptures. Sometimes it takes someone with humility and with patience to come up beside someone else and say, "Hey, listen, let's examine what the scripture says about the church." The Lord adds to His church. But going up to someone and say, "Look, you're in that Pentecostal group, or you're over here in this Presbyterian group, and you're just dumb. How are you going to win anybody over? You ain't going to win anybody over." Not with that kind of attitude. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." We have to, with love. Richard Fuller, in his book, I believe it was Richard Fuller, I just wrote his last name down, it's Fuller, but he said in his book, Baptism and the Terms of Communion, he said, "In the following pages, I've condensed several sermons preached and now published by request. Those who heard the discourses will bear me witness that I breathe not, for I am incapable of an unkind thought towards my brethren who differ from me. Once for all, let me say that I am a Baptist on principle and not in sectarianism nor bigotry. I love all who love Jesus, but I do not love error and cannot treat religious error as if it were unimportant. The pedo-baptist, baby baptizer for those who don't know, works referred to in this treatise are full of harsh invectives against the Baptist. I hope that I have not emulated this temper. If in any case my language seems strong, it is directed solely against the error." And I like that kind of language. Listen, folks, when we're dealing with people, we direct. Our strong language against the error, against the sin. Because that's where the problem is at.
In this age of internet communication, sometimes it's easy to get on the keyboard. Just go after them. Just go after them. Treat everybody like as if they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. It takes a little bit to figure that out. Not everybody's a wolf in a sheep's clothing. But we've got to remember, experience is a great teacher, but it's not everything. And I've had to learn that through the years. I was raised in Baptist churches my whole life. It took me a long time to have patience with people who weren't raised in Baptist churches. What seems obvious to me isn't so obvious to everybody else. And Paul the Apostle, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." God's grace is amazing. And where we're at today, whether we were raised in a Baptist church or we came to the knowledge of the truth, whatever the case may be, whatever the case is, we need to stand for the truth. But let us do so in love. Let us not compromise one inch, but let us do so with love and humility. Whether we're standing behind this pulpit, whether we're engaging with someone on Facebook, or whether we're talking to our friends and our coworkers at the place we work at, the classroom, or on the streets, however way we end up meeting people, whatever the case may be, I believe that God will bless His Word in a great way. And we can learn from these individuals that we can find in the Scriptures, particularly Paul, as he engaged with folks with great humility, but also with great firmness on the truth. And so may God add a blessing to His Word.